talking even to God about it, never mind each other about it. And part of the reason is because we think we're okay. You remember last week that Rebecca shared about worry and how she went to a meeting and the topic was on worry, and she thought, well, I don't have a problem with worry, so I'll write some notes down and maybe it can be for somebody else. However, then she realized that week that worry did come, and she did have a situation that caused her to worry about some things. And so all that teaching that God gave her that she thought wasn't any use to her was useful for her. And I had something like that happen in my life as well. Someone preached on fear, and I thought, well, I'm not a fearful person. I don't fear anything. And then the next morning when I woke up, I had this toothache and I had a cavity, and I realized I was fearful of something, the dentist. Except God was gracious and led me to a sleep dentist. So that was good. But sometimes we think things aren't about me, that this sermon that you're going to hear this morning is not for you, that it's for somebody else because I've got this. But I want you to say out loud, I need this. See, you just trusted me because you have no idea what I'm going to talk about. But that's good, because we do need this. So there's a myth or misinformation about the subject. People say, don't pray for, fill in the blank, what is it we're not supposed to pray for, because then God will test us and bring about a trial. Patience. That's just not the truth at all. So patience is something that needs to be developed in our lives, and it is part of the maturing process. If you've gone anywhere with kids that are, you know, under 15 years old, they sit in the back seat after an hour and say, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you say, no, not yet, and you tell them how long it's going to be, and then really 10 minutes later they say, are we there yet? Right? Are we there yet? I have that problem with Pastor Ace all the time. Are we there yet? And so they get anxious. They get impatient about these things. And isn't it true that we can be like that in our walk of faith? We say to God, are we there yet? What's happening in my life? This is taking so long with my kids, my grandchildren, some are involved with older parents. God, are we there yet? When is this going to come to its fullness? When are these things going to happen? And so I think pretty much you know where we're going. James chapter 1, starting at verse 2. You can look it up in your scripture, please. Says, my brethren, count it all what? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Probably the most irritating thing that we have to do in our life is waiting. Quite some time ago, I remember I was purchasing something at Canadian Tire, and I had the thing, the object I wanted right in my hands, and I stopped to look at something else. And while I did that, two or three other people just kind of jumped right in line before me, and there was only one cashier open. Or so I thought. There was another one, but I thought that was just for returns. If you've been to the Canadian Tire on James Street, you know what it is. And so I looked around and thought, well, I'll just go over there to that line. Well, you know what happens. I went over there to that line, and somebody else got in front of me. But it was only one person, and it wouldn't be too long because she said, I'm just paying a bill. I'm just paying a bill. So she handed the cashier a wad of $20 bills, and her bill was $1,500. And she paid it all in $20 bills. And so the cashier, 75 times, doled out $20. Have I got my math right, Corey? I saw the tilt. And I looked over to my spot in the other line and realized, I should have just stayed there. But I waited. And when she finished counting all those bills, she had to get the magnifying glass out and do her thing and check every $20 bill 75 times. Well, I got impatient. I put down the article I was buying, and I left the store thinking, I will come back another time, and I need to come back. And then conviction comes as I muttered under my breath, why don't these people open another line? But I leave, and I get convicted of my lack of patience. By the way, I did not, that morning when I get up, pray, God, give me patience, because it just doesn't work that way. That's a myth. That don't pray for this because then God's going to do this. I want to tell you that when we need patience, God's going to do it anyway. Whether you pray and ask for patience or not, he's going to bring a test because he looks inside and he knows you're very impatient. And so I'm going to do something about that. This test is going to come. And these are little things because James says the testing of your faith, right? And so in these little things, I'm not talking, that didn't test my faith. What it did was test my patience, which God knows that I needed. And you know what it's like. First of all, our fruit, patience is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, etc., etc. A fruit of the Spirit. So God needs to, in the natural realm, when fruit is being developed, it needs to be fertilized, it needs to grow, it needs to be pinched off. You know those suckers that grow, and you gotta, I love saying that word, and then you gotta pinch those little things off to make more fruit and bigger fruit and better fruit. And that's why God likens fruit of the Spirit, because there's some pinching going on, there's some cutting going on, there's some stuff that has to go on in our Christian life to bring us to a place of maturity. And God is not satisfied with just a little bit of fruit, not more fruit. He wants much fruit from us, according to the book of John. And so you know that it happens when we're sitting in a restaurant and we whip in and we misread the sign that did not say fast food. And so we have to wait for this food to come. We have to wait for it. And the waitress seems to be so slow. Or you're really, really hungry, and the people that you're with start chatting with the waitress. And all I want to do is just order my food. I don't want to wait. And so God develops this patience going on with us. Because we expect things immediately. When I text somebody, they text me back. I text them again. And then I stand looking at the phone because why didn't you text me back right away? You were just there, right? You were just texting me, so what happened? And so we get impatient and we maybe type in a whole bunch of question marks. Or we type, hello? Come on now. Because we're impatient. Because we want to hear from you now. We want it now. We're just like the kids. Are we there yet? We have not outgrown that yet. So God is after a lifestyle and character of the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of patience within us. If you've reading through the Gospels, you never see Christ being impatient or in a hurry. Mary said to him, why didn't you come, Mary and Martha, when Lazarus died? Why didn't you come? It's too late now. He's dead. In other words, you should have hurried. But there's no hurry in Christ, and there's no hurry in heaven. There's no impatience, but there is oftentimes with us. Verse 4 says, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfect and fully developed with no defects, lacking nothing. Wow! No defects, lacking nothing, all this hinging on our patience. And so God is getting at the inside of what's inside of us. And I want to tell you this little story about the American soldiers during the Korean War. They had rented a house and they hired a local boy to do their housekeeping and their cooking. And so it was common during that day, during the war, for soldiers to get that kind of setup so they could easily come and easily go. And so this little Korean fellow they hired had an unbelievable patient attitude. He was so positive and he was so patient and he was always smiling. So they kept playing tricks on him, one trick after another. They nailed his shoe to the floor, and when he got up in the morning, he pulled the nails out with pliers, slipped on his shoes, and still had an excellent attitude. They put grease on the stove handles, and he would wipe each one off, smiling and singing his way through the day. They even balanced buckets of water over the doors, and he'd get drenched, but he would dry off, and he would never, ever fuss. Time after time, they did these things. Finally, the soldiers were so ashamed of themselves that they called him in one day, and they said, "We want you to know that we are never going to trick you again. Your attitude has been outstanding." And he said, "You mean no more nail shoes to floor? No more. You mean no more sticky stove knobs? No more. You mean no more water buckets on the door? No more," the soldier said. "Okay, then no more spit in soup," they replied. So we can be like that, doing all the right things on the outside, but inside we're still spitting in the soup, right? It's not just waiting in lines or waiting for lights or for people. All that is important, but what about patiently waiting on the Lord? What about patiently waiting for Him to answer our prayers? Even with Him, we get impatient. God, when are you going to answer this prayer? It's been a long time, God. When are you going to answer this prayer? And so what we do is we take it upon ourselves to do stuff. We fix it. We can handle this. God, if you're not going to move in this situation, then I'm going to move in this situation. Even waiting for God to do something, to answer our prayer, can be a testing time for us that produces endurance, steadfastness, and patience. And I don't know about you, but aren't we kind of concerned about the next generation that's coming up and the lack of patience that they have for things, the lack of waiting? Listen, if we were honest, probably all of us would say, we don't wait for stuff anymore. If I don't have the money, I have a credit card. Now, I'll pay it off, but I want what I want now. And so we do all kinds of things like that. And I'm not saying that that's wrong, but if there's an impatience about it, if it's a matter of, oh, I'm not waiting for God, I want it now. And so we do have a generation coming up even worse than this generation that is very, very, very impatient. And we're going to pay a big price for it. So how do we victoriously, if you're listening, that word's in capitals, how do we victoriously wait on the Lord? When I was a brand new Christian, I had something very, very serious in my life that I was praying for, something that affected my whole life and my whole marriage. And I learned to pray about it. I asked the Lord about it month after month, probably after years of praying and years of waiting. I would ask the Lord, do I need to see a counselor? Do I need to see a psychiatrist? God, what about this? What do I need? And then the Lord directed me to Psalm 62. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Psalm 62, please? Because this is a psalm that we, when we get impatient, should just mark and have ready at our fingertips. Psalms 62. Are you there yet? Okay, he says, "Truly my soul waits for God." You need to underline or highlight wait. "From him comes from my salvation." And salvation is not just receiving Christ as your Savior. That word means the whole body, soul, and spirit of someone salvation. We need to know that Christ is not only concerned with our eternal destiny, but Christ is concerned with every part of our lives. He's concerned with our body. By his stripes we're healed. He's concerned with our mental facilities. By the blood of Jesus, I'm healed, I'm set free. He's concerned about every part. So when you see the word salvation, it's not just about, oh, David was talking about being saved and getting to heaven. No, salvation, it's a Greek word that means the whole, body, soul, and spirit. And so David said, my salvation comes from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I will not be greatly moved. So how do we victoriously wait for God? First of all, I want to tell you that the word patience in the book of James, where we're going to hop around a little bit, is a Greek word, hupomeno, H-U-P-O-M-E-N-O. Two words. When they're combined, it means to stay or to abide under. And it's one of the strongest words in the scripture. It shows a person who knows he's in the right place, and regardless of the pressure, he's made a decision. He will not bend, he will not bow, he will not break under the pressure. Hupomeno. Joshua, my favorite verse, says, don't be dismayed, Joshua. The word dismayed means to crack under the strain or under pressure. So Old Testament, New Testament, God is testing our faith and creating patience within us. God was saying, Joshua, you're in the right place. Regardless of the pressure, you decide that you won't bend or bow or break under that pressure. And we know the story of Joshua that he did not. So patience, it's an unrelenting decision to hold fast to the spot that you are in and not be moved for any reason. That's kind of a foot stomping thing. I will not be moved. I'm in this. God's called me to it. I will not be moved. Now, let me just interject here. This is not in my notes, but I feel the Holy Spirit saying it. Church people get very impatient with the churches they're in. Now, I realize absolutely there are times and places that people, you're not being fed. It's not a good place. It's not what you're looking for. It doesn't feel like home. And so you move on to another church. But not another and another and another and another. It's that impatience that says, God, I want you to develop this in me. And God is saying, now, wait a minute, I want to develop this. In the early days, there was a number of people left. One person in particular was a really good friend of mine, and I depended on her a lot, and she made the decision to go to another church. And I said, have you got what you needed from, at that time, the Joshua Center, and from us as your pastors? And she said, absolutely. She said, I learned spiritual warfare. I knew nothing about spiritual warfare until I came to this church. And so she moved on for various reasons. And when people say they're moving on, I want to be able to bless that. I want to be able to say, bless you. But sometimes, please hear me, I'm not saying all the times. I realize sometimes you need to find where you fit and find a place that you can walk through the doors and say, I feel like I'm home. Maybe it's only for a portion of time when God wants you to learn something specific. But I think oftentimes we circumvent what God wants to do in our lives because we get impatient with what's not happening and what I think should happen. I'd like to hear a loud amen, but maybe not. So how do you victoriously wait for God? Number one, you wait for him to direct your steps. The word says, the steps of a righteous are ordered by the Lord. Don't run ahead. Don't keep switching lines just to get something done faster. Wait for his direction. In everything you do in life, wait for the direction of the Holy Spirit. And that can come in many different ways. That can come by a word from somebody. That can come by a scripture like it did for me in Psalm 62. I never did go to a psychiatrist because I got that verse, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." That was a rhema word for me. And so I knew that that wasn't the direction that God wanted me to go to, right? It could be for somebody else. Yes, that's the direction I want you to go in. But it's important that we pray about and we wait on the Lord for him to direct our steps. The word "only," if you read through those scriptures, appears 6 times in the psalm. And so it was like David was saying, "There's nobody else but you, Lord." I mean, David was in a unique situation. He was out in the sheep field. And so that's, you want to say, well, that's all he could wait on. Well, maybe that's what God's trying to do in our life. Take out some of those things that we rely on so that we can only rely on him. When we started the church, I had other friends from other churches, and I really thought they would join me. I could have used their help. I could have used their strength and their stability, but they never came. And when I asked God about it, he said, "Because I don't want you depending on them. I want you depending on me." I asked the Lord, "Father, why couldn't I have just gone to Pastor Sue's church just for, you know, a couple of years and just gleaned from that and just learned from her wisdom that she has?" And God said, "Because that's not how I've made you. I want you to learn to lean only on me." And so God removed some of those, what I would consider crutches in my life, because I'm a good second stringer. I can obey orders. I can do what somebody else tells me to do. I really can. Vice president of Women Aglow. Thank you, God. Yes, I can do that. The president will tell me. A month after, she resigned. And guess what the vice president has to now step into? So all along, God says to me, "I want you to learn to rely on me and learn to rely on my grace." And in the midst of that, patience was and still is being developed in my life. In the psalm, verse 5 says, "My soul, wait in silence for God only." Kim mentioned that this morning. And that was my verse, and that was my answer. You wait only on God. "My soul, wait only upon God, for my expectation is from him." This word "wait" has changed now from the Hebrew word "wait" earlier in that psalm. Now it's a different, takes on a different meaning, this word "wait." It's actually, David is commanding his soul. And that's what I should have done in that lineup at Canadian Tire. "Joy, you stand here and you wait your turn." But I didn't. I went to the next line, and then I went out the door. And then a couple of days later, I had to go back and get the article, and I still had to wait in line. Because I didn't take control over my soul and my mind. We have, our minds have control over those things. I can say, "Soul, you are going to wait on God. You are not going to run ahead. You are not going to jump lines here. You are not going to do this." And so we need to take command of some of those things. And the verse here about verse 5 in Psalm 62 is waiting on God. He's commanding his soul. It means to astonish his soul. It means to stop what's going on. It means to cease or to be cut down, to be quiet in yourself. Wait on the Lord to guide your steps. Wait for him. And I'll tell you that God eventually answered the desperate cry of my heart as I waited on God. That's a huge part of my story, because what God did for me is gave me a vision of things that happened in my life that was affecting the life I was now in, that happened when I was a child. And God took me through each one of them. And I prayed, "God, I don't want to see that. I don't want to think about that." And God just spoke to me and said, "You need to see it. It needs to be healed." And as I watched each frame, it was like a slideshow. As I watched each frame, I saw Jesus standing there. I saw his blood washing over me, and I saw the healing come. And I want to tell you, I was changed from that moment on. Those things in my past never bothered me again. And I've shared with you one of those things was a spirit of anger. God didn't answer my prayer instantly. It took time. A whole lot of precious time. But sometimes we have to wait. We don't have a choice, do we? We just wait on the Lord. Sometimes he directs us to seek out help. But even in that, we must seek his direction. On the outside, to me, it looked like nothing was happening. It was like watching a flower open, unseen. But God was answering. So we wait for his direction. Then we wait in silence. And we wait in stillness. That's what the Quakers were all about, waiting in silence. And there's a wonderful balance. Have you ever been in a place where you had to be silent? Sometimes we get sick and our throat gets sore, and so there's no talking. That's not really silence, because there's other stuff going on around us. I remember so many specific times in my life where God pushed me into a place where, not that I couldn't speak, but that there was silence all around me. One time I was on an airplane. I sat beside a lady who obviously did not want to talk. And so I just sat by the window seat, had my book I was reading. It was a long flight. Looked out the window, and I felt I was forced to be silent. And you want to know, that was one of the best flights that I ever remember. Because I just waited on the Lord. I was just silent before him. I think silence is something that we don't really know too much about. One year, I went to Flower Pot Island. Anybody know Flower Pot Island? It's a fantastic, Gary, you guys got to go. It's a great place. I don't know what it's like now, but then they could only have, you could stay on the island. Sorry about these memory lane things, but hopefully they'll help you. You could stay on the island, but only a few people at a time. So we stayed in the lighthouse accommodation. And there were three of us girls that stayed there. And so because there was so few people there, the island was like totally silent. It's a large island with lots of trails and lots of snakes. And at that point, they had a bear that they had to capture. But in my walking time, well, I love walking in nature and stuff like that. And so that was just my time to spend with the Lord. And it was again, a pivotal, memorable time in my life. Because, you know, I remember those times more than, is it this great conference? And, oh, my gosh, you should have seen what God did. Yes, all those times are wonderful, awesome, necessary. But the times I remember most are the times that I, one-on-one, touched God. And he touched me back. Those were the time that I experienced his extravagant love for me. I didn't just sing about it. I experienced it. And for me, it came in the silent times. And I think there are a lot more silent times needed in our lives. It's not about whether you like to be alone or whether you're a nature lover or anything else. We need to have silent times. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Needs to be a time, one portion of a day where we set aside for God, where we don't run around. I'm convicted. Where we don't run around and we don't shop and we don't do this and we don't go here and we don't do there. It's time where we just spend our time in the Lord. I don't know about you, but my Baptist background, some of my friends would talk about what they did on Saturday afternoon. They had to have a nap. They could not go outside. Anybody identify in your family? They could not go outside and play. The parents went and had a nap, laid before the Lord, we called it. And the children had to do the same. Now, if they went in their room and played quietly, that was fine, but they could not come out of their room until an appointed time. And sometimes those same kids would get up when their parents were sleeping, sneak outside and play football and stuff like that. But there was that time. Is it right or wrong? I don't know, and frankly, I don't care at this point. But we need to have some silent times where we just draw in. We're heading into one of the busiest seasons of our year, Christmas time. And we get all crazy and impatient. And we need to have that silent time. It doesn't have to be an hour or two. Silent times can just be such a small portion of time. That's why I like driving in my car by myself. Sometimes no music, no words, no radio. I just drive and there is total silence. Total silence. And it's awesome before God. And so we need to wait, and we need to wait in the silent times. We can't make it happen in our own selves. We can't quit and give out. In the checkout line, I didn't get what I needed, and I had to go back for it. I should have taken control of myself. And so you and I, we've got to say sometimes, soul, self, you listen. You do what you've been told. You do what you sang about on Sunday morning. You remember who God is. You remember his faithfulness. You remember God. You have to speak to our souls and say, you are not going to freak out about this. If you hear me talking to myself, that's usually what I'm saying if I'm not singing. Joy, you are not going to panic about this because there's no panic in heaven. God always comes through. He has never let me down. Any testimonies? He hasn't. When we run ahead and we mess things up, that's us. That's not God. And so we wait. Thirdly, first, we need to wait for his direction. We need to wait silently. And thirdly, we need to trust the Lord to provide. David said he put his expectation in him and him only. From him only comes my salvation. He is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved. God is our salvation. He is our deliverer. Therefore, he's my victory. He's my defense. I think I told you in the car that I have, when I start it up, there's a shield that shows up on my little dashboard thing there. And the shield shows beep, 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 all around. There's this shield. And it reminds me every day I get in that car that I am surrounded by the shield of Almighty God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it's just, for me, it's just a reminder. I told you, in my life, anything will preach. And I look at stuff like that and say, God, thank you for that reminder. Amen? So we trust the Lord to provide. We put our expectations in him. He is our deliverer. He is our rock. Imagine what David was going among the rocks and the cliffs and into those were his natural hiding places. But he knew that he needed to be dependent on God. Our defense, our cliff defense, our rocky place, our altitude, a place of refuge, a high tower. And he said, I shall not be greatly shaken. There's a stability in waiting on the Lord. It's not a pacing back and forth. Oh, I'm just waiting on God to do this. No, our attitude in the midst of it, there's got to be faith mixed with that attitude. I'm waiting on God, and I have peace in the midst of that because I know God is my deliverer and my defense, and I will not be shaken. Stability and confidence in waiting for God. There's another word, wait, that you're very familiar with in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord will what? Renew their strength. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to ask the question again. Noel has given you the answer. So, those who wait for the Lord shall... If I wait for the Lord, I renew my strength, which knocks out the impatience. Because if I get frustrated and impatient, I find that I get weary, I get tired, I get weak. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And there's great other teaching on that as well. So the word wait in this instance means to twist or stretch in order to become strong. And so we're right back where we started, aren't we? Trials producing endurance, steadfastness, patience. Patience producing character and strength, renewed strength. developed, James says, and lacking nothing. So what do we get impatient about, that God is trying to develop some patience? What we're talking about is someone like you and I called to what we call the exchanged life, the waiting. My weakness for his strength. When I was a kid on the farm, I used to have a lot of spare time just to putter and play. And I would think and I would invent things. I invented stilts with two large oil cans, and I put string around them, and I walked on those cans all over the place. I made bird feeders. And it was a great place to grow up because I did all kinds of fun things like that. But one day, there's this tree in our backyard, and I really wanted a swing. And so I got some binder twine. I think you all might know what binder twine is. It's a type of rope that they tie bales up with, and it's quite strong. And so I put the string up, and I tied it over, and I tied a big knot, and there was a hole in the board, and I put it through, and I made this. I flung it up over, and I tied it and fastened it, and then I got on the swing, and I swang once, twice, and bam, that thing came down, because it was only one strand of binder twine. And so not having a quitter personality or a crybaby, I got up, and I got three or four more pieces of binder twine, and I wove them together. I braided them together, making them stronger. And when I did it the second time, that string did not break. I don't think the string is there or the swing is there any longer. I did go there a couple of years ago and realize that my name is carved into the brickwork on the back porch there. So there are some things of me that remain on that farm in Caledonia. But that's what it's like when you're braiding someone's hair, when you're braiding ropes together to make them strong. That's what you're doing. You're making them strong. You're, in effect, you're waiting. You're showing that word waiting as you weave those things together, as you braid those things together. And that's the picture of those who wait on the Lord. It's not just waiting on the Lord. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. No, that's not what those who wait on the Lord. It means that I take my weakness or the strength that I might have, and I weave it together with God's strength. How do I do that? I sing songs. I read scripture. I remind myself. I tell myself, soul, you are going to wait on God for this. This is not something that you can handle, you can run ahead with. You are going to wait on God for this. You're going to spend some extra time in prayer, and you are going to wait on the Lord. That's how I weave myself together with God. That's how God and I become braided together. And then I become strong because he takes my weakness and gives me his strength. Amen? I exchange. That's what the exchange life is. I exchange my weakness for his strength. How many of you know we get the better of the deal? Do you know that God and all he has is our inheritance? We know that, right? Yeah, God's my inheritance. Let me know that you know that, or we'll spend another 20 minutes on it. So every hand goes up. Yeah, we know that. Right? We know that. But do you know that you are God's inheritance? Sometimes I say to the Lord, sorry about that, God. I think you got the worst end of the deal here, because it's just me, God. He doesn't see us that way. But we need to remember, not only is he my inheritance, that I'm his inheritance as well. He looks at you and says, you're my inheritance. I've inherited you. I've got a vested interest in you. And he loves us so extravagantly. Those who wait upon the Lord renew their strength. But the key is waiting, not being impatient. Knowing this, Isaiah, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. We like that part. They will run and not get tired. We like that part. They will walk and not become weary. We like that part. You know, I have to be careful because these are busy days for me. And the other day I found myself saying, I'm just weary. And then I was convicted. I'm not weary. I might need some rest. I might need a vacation, but I'm not weary. And so we need to watch watch our words, because I don't want to start acting like I'm weary. Because if I wait on the Lord, my strength is renewed. And in saying, I'm weary, I'm tired, then somebody needs to say to me, it's probably because you're not waiting on the Lord, right? But only my husband would have the courage to say that. But we need to recognize, we need to understand that if I'm confessing, I'm weary, I'm running, I'm getting tired, then maybe it's because you need a rest, but maybe it's because we're not waiting on the Lord. And aren't they great options? Run and not be weary? Hallelujah! That's awesome. I want that. They run and not get tired. They're mounted with wings like eagles, soaring over all those things, all the storm things that come. I'm going to rise above them with these eagle wings that I can have. I'm going to not be weary when I wait on the Lord. When I wait on the Lord. How does it happen? Because he's our deliverer, our security, our hope, our glory. He's our refuge, but in him only. So waiting involves trusting, and trusting involves resting. There's no room for impatience. One of the things that comes out clearly in James is not only the counted all joy part, but the perseverance, the waiting, and the patience include. Remember, we are to count it all joy. And when I think of that, I see that lady with 75 $20 bills, counting it out, examining everyone. Can we do that with our trials, with the things and the persecution and the stuff that comes our way? Can we count it joy? Lord, I'm going to look at this portion in my life that is causing me this stress. I'm going to persevere through it, but I'm going to look at it. I'm going to see, God, how you fit in the midst of that. How do you fit in the midst of that? Because I don't want to just wait. I want to wait on the Lord, and I want to wait victoriously. Amen? I don't want to just bump along and say, well, que sera, sera. What will be, that song is a lie. Not what will be. What I place my faith in, my trust in, the word that I stand in, that's what will be. That's the truth. If you don't know that, then you're going to sing que sera, sera for the rest of your life, and you're just going to go wherever the wind takes you, wherever the next happening, wherever the next person, whatever the next opinion takes you. But when I can stand on the word, when sickness hits my body, I can say in the name of Jesus, well, what will be, I guess I'm getting older, so these things are happening. No! My mind, the memory of the just is blessed. And I say, God, my memory's blessed. I put that oil on the back of my neck and my big toe, but the memory, my memory is blessed. You know, speaking of that, I was at a women's conference, I was speaking. And so it's the first time I got Dory's little bottle of oil that's supposed to help your memory. And she warned me, she said, you know, it doesn't mean that you're just going to all of a sudden, you know, it's just a help. So I rubbed it on, and Gerda's with me, rubbed it on my toe. And Gerda said, what are you doing? So I told her, it was this memory oil that I got, and you know, I'm just trying it out, walking down the road. And I said, oh, I forgot my Bible. And she said, maybe you should have put it on both toes. So we wait on the Lord. We stand on the word, ladies and gentlemen. Stand on the word. Don't let the wind, the doctrine. Oh, well, the Bible says this is wrong, but here we are now in this generation. So this must be for another time past. These sins are not just sins anymore. No, that's not what the word says, and we're going to be a nation in trouble. We're going to be a nation in trouble when we see the 17th of October come around. We are going to see things that we've never thought could happen in our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to wait on God and pray about these things. We need to. Otherwise, we already are in trouble, but it's going to get bigger. So waiting involves trusting. Trusting involves resting. There's no room for impatience. The one thing that comes out in James is about count it all joy. So there's got to be joy in our life. during our impatient times, during our times of trial. We are called to be joyful. That's what we're called to be. We're to count it joy. Phillips' translation says this: when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your life, my brothers and sisters, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. That's pretty cool. Right? Oh, I've got this bad knee. I welcome you as a friend. Right? A trial. But Jesus, here's what your word says. I'm waiting on you for healing. But I'm not waiting like, oh, that stupid knee, what's wrong with me? No, I'm waiting. Because these are light things for us. If I was preaching in a third world country, this would take a whole other direction, right? Because we really don't know anything about persecution. Really, we don't know much about trials. But the trials that we do have, God wants us to work through them and work through them, count it all joy. There's also waiting on the Lord as well as waiting for the Lord. So we come in submission, bowing before him. I think that was even in one of the songs that we sang. Mary took a pound of costly oil, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. She waited on the Lord. So as we wait for him, let's wait on him as well. When we sing on Sunday morning, we are waiting on the Lord. You know what I mean by that? Like, if I bring you a glass of water and a meal, I'm waiting on you. So that's what we're doing when we come to the Lord on Sunday morning and we sing. No other distractions. I don't have anything else to do this morning for a half hour, 45 minutes. I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm braiding myself together. Braiding myself together with him. I'm waiting on him. I'm wrapping around him. He's wrapping around me. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm not waiting for him to do anything. I'm just waiting on the Lord. My soul, wait thou only on God. Remember that the devil does not want us to realize our long-awaited victories. So we have to hupomeno. We have to have staying power. A firm decision that we hang in there and we don't quit. And when this is working in our life, it's not a question of if I win. It's just a matter of time until I win. As believers, let's stand our ground when the pressures come. When things come into our homes, into our families, let's not surrender. Realize these things are just trying to wear you down and push you out of a position in your pursuit of the plan of God for your life. I think for all of us, there are times when we've waited and been patient and we've seen a breakthrough come. I think there are a lot of testimonies in the room where I've waited on God, my choice, forced, but I've waited on God and he's come through for me. And then I think there are still a lot of waiting that each one of us are doing. We're waiting for God to do some things in our life. Let's stand firm in that position and believe that God, because of who he is and because his promises to us are absolutely true, that my waiting is going to have fruit to it. It's going to have fruit to it. Don't let the devil bully you into giving up on the promises of God. Amen? Kim, I'd like you, if we can sing that song about Jesus. unless you have another song, but I was thinking of the hymn that's reconstructed there. Yes, for the love of my King. And as you know, I realize that sometimes we sing songs that are not familiar. They're familiar to us as worship leaders and people who are on the worship team because we go through them all week long. They're just in our brains. But I realize that we bring a set of songs to you and maybe, I don't remember hearing that before. But I encourage you to Just jump in. Just sing like never before. Just sing. We really don't care if you're off key. We really don't care if you mess up the words a little bit. We really don't care about that. We really don't care if you stand there and sing in tongues the whole time. We really don't care. We just need to let these words get down into our spirit man. Amen? So I'd like us to stand together. Actually, I'd like us to come to the front a little bit. If you need to bring your chair and you need to sit, you're welcome to do that. But I'd just like us to respond. And Father, I pray that just for the next few minutes, God, we're just going to wait on you. God, you know that each one of our lives, we have stuff that we're waiting for. We're waiting for things to happen. We've prayed about it. We know it's your will, Father God. Would you help us to be good waiters? Would you help us to braid ourselves together with you, Holy Spirit? Would you help us to just wait and get direction from you? Would you help us to wait in silence, Father God? Help us in all of these things just to wait patiently for you, Lord God. And Father, we know that you're a God who answers prayer. We want to trust you like we've never trusted you before. Our expectation, like David, is from you. It's not from my paycheck. It's not from what I know. It's not from the things that I have acquired. It's not from the great people I'm surrounded by. But my expectation is from you, God. And so, Father, we thank you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We want your presence. We want you to develop patience within us, Father God. As we go through this week, help us to count it all joy as we go through trials that may come. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.